Who's up, Dad? Who's up?
Top, boy.
Very nice.
Here, did you put the sugar in before the milk?
Yes, I think so, yes.
You better stand up, close your eyes, turn around twice while I throw this lot out the window.
What's the point of that?
It's very unlucky to put sugar in before milk, didn't you know that?
It doesn't make any difference, it tastes just the same.
It might taste just the same, Pete, but it has terrible effects on your life. If you put the sugar in before the milk, it's very unlucky. My Aunt Dolly put the sugar in before the milk one day, and over the next 40 years, she lost all her teeth.
Is that due to putting the sugar in before the milk?
Yeah, it's due to that very thing. I'll tell you another thing I'm very careful about, Pete. What I'm very superstitious about is railings. Whenever I see railings, I know I have to count them, otherwise it will be unlucky. And something awful will happen to me. For instance, when I go up the Merry Fiddlers to have a couple of pints,
yes.
When I come back, you know them railings that stretch all the way back?
From the Merry Fiddlers.
From the Merry Fiddlers to our door. I have to count every one of them. Now, the other day, last Friday, I was just getting to number 493, and I saw Mrs. Taylor across the road. I said, "Hello, Mrs. Taylor. How are you, Mrs. Taylor, dear?"
Yeah.
Gave her a wave. I turned back, I lost my place. I thought, I can't risk it. I can't risk going wrong. I got a bus back to the Merry Fiddlers and started again.
How many railings are there, Dad?
593.
That's very interesting. It should be exactly that number, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. There must be something in all this occult business, you know.
Yeah, superstition.
Superstition,
that.
Spiritualism and all of that. You remember my Uncle Bert?
Very vaguely.
That's how people remember him. Very vaguely. My Uncle Bert. Well, one day he was in the kitchen. He just finished having tea, you know, like you or me. And he just taking the milk back to the fridge. Just about to place the milk in the fridge when suddenly this black cat ran in front of him. Well, of course, what he should have done is stood on his head, drank the milk backwards and crossed himself to avoid the evil spirits. But he was very late for the pictures, so he didn't take any precautions, and sure enough, 7 years, 4 days and 3 months later, he was run down by a bus.
That shows you, Pete, you see, you can't ignore the omens.
You mustn't ignore the omens, Dad. Of course, Uncle Bert, he used to dabble in the occult, you know.
Huh?
Especially during the warm weather. I remember once, it must have been the summer 1953, a blazing hot afternoon. I just come down the stairs and I went into the sitting room and there was Uncle Bert sitting there with all the heavy velvet curtains drawn. You remember those heavy velvet curtains he used to have?
Very vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, they were drawn, you know, fairly distinctly, and he was sitting there in the dark. So I said, "I'm sorry to disturb you, Uncle Bert." He said, "No, come on in, Pete. I'm looking into the secrets of the future." So I sat down. He had these amazing tarot cards with him. You know the tarot cards? He was taking one tarot out after the other, throwing it on the table and predicting the future, Dad. It was quite incredible. He said, "During the next 10 years, an amazingly important event will occur." Sure enough, 4 years later, World War II broke out. And that wasn't the only thing. Do you want to know what he said as well?
What else?
He said, "The weather is going to be unpredictable." He predicted that years before it happened.
That's fantastic.
Through the tarot cards. It's wonderful.
Of course, you know, Pete, all these superstitions and things had their origins in the Black Ages, when people wandered about in a state of ignorance and unrest.
Of course they did, Dad. That was a time when strange spirits were abroad.
Well, we had some here as well, actually.
Oh, we had plenty, The medieval times.
Yeah, of course. And the hand of the sinister unknown and the fear of Lucifer and the dark spirits was on everybody's heart.
Of course they were, Dad. There's lots of witches about in those days.
Yeah.
Do you know about witches, Dad?
No, I don't, Pete.
In medieval times, when they suspected someone of being a witch, Dad, the villagers used to seize hold of her and get lots of string and tie it all round her and then attach pebbles, what they found in the forest nearby.
Yeah.
And then the elders of the village, or not absolutely the eldest because they're too weak to do it, but the youngest of the elders, the sort of...
Middle Ages.
The Middle Ages, as they are called, used to grab hold of the alleged witch and thrust her in the pond, you see. And if she floated, they knew that she was a witch, and they hauled her out and waited for her to dry off and burnt her.
What like the if she sank, Pete?
Well, if she sank and drowned, that meant she was innocent, you see. Rather a poor deal they had, the innocent witches. Of course, nowadays she'd be tried by a local magistrate, which would be totally different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we've come a long way since those unenlightened times.
Of course, Pete. We've come miles since those times.
Wouldn't have that sort of cruelty, would we, Pete?
No, we wouldn't.
No, of course. Do you know, Pete, actually, it's interesting, it's because the whole business of the dark regions of the mind has always fascinated me. Do you remember Bert Woolley?
No.
You see, nobody remembers him. Well, he was in the war. He was in the trenches one day, you know.
Yes.
He was fighting on the front. And he was polishing his rifle one Christmas. And suddenly, he cut his finger on the viewfinder. And you wouldn't believe this, 3,000 miles away in Glasgow, his mum, in the middle of the night, woke up in a cold sweat, sucking her thumb, and saying in a voice that was scarcely her own, Pete, "My little one has been injured. My boy has been damaged." Yeah.
That's telepathy, Dad.
Is it?
That's all it is, that's telepathy. I'm telepathetic, you know. I can tell what people are thinking. For example, you think of something, I'll tell you what you're thinking.
I bet you can't.
Of course I can. Shut your arse and think of something.
Right.
You thought of anything?
No, I can't think of anything.
Well, think of an apple.
All right.
No, don't think of that, because I told you. Think of something similar to that.
I find it hard.
Have you thought of something?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I'll tell you what it is. I believe that you're thinking, "I bet Pete can't tell what I'm thinking."
How did you know that, then?
I stood out a bloody mile, Dad. I can read you like a book. A bloody boring book it is as well.
It's amazing, you know, Peter, to have those sort of powers. Of course, do you ever get a feeling that the hand of a nameless dread is clutching at your heart?
You mean intimations of unbelievable horror?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that in the afternoons quite often. When I'm coming home from work in the twilight, by dusk, you know, and the street is deserted, and I look down and I see the cracks of the pavement, and I know full well that if I tread on one of those cracks, a great big bogeyman is going to come out from behind the dustbins and carry me off to his mountain lair and tear me rim from rim.
That's terrible, Pete. That's terrible. I used to get that very feeling when I was a little boy, you know. Because my mum used to say to me when I was a nipper, she used to say, "Dad, don't you dare go near number 49 Lymington Crescent."
Yes.
"It's an evil place. Don't you ever go anywhere near that."
Yes.
So, of course, I was a curious lad. And one day after school... What?
I remember that. You were a very curious lad.
Yeah, I spot. Funny you should remember that, Pete. And one day after school, I went along to 49 Lymington Crescent. I went with Roy Taylor and Michael Austin. And we came to the gate, we opened the gate, and we started creeping stealthily up the gravel path, which crunched under our feet.
Crunch, crunch.
Yeah,
crunch,
very crunch. Similar to that noise you're making now. And then we picked our way stealthily across the lawn, squashing the rotting apples that were lying there. And then we come upon this sooty window where cobwebs had accumulated over the centuries. And we looked in, fear in our hearts, and we saw Mr. Lewis of the hardware store dancing to a suspended kipper.